Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed.
Several weeks ago, I went through what has become a triennial ritual here at the Little House on the Hill. We were audited by my homeowner's liability insurance company. You may never have heard of an audit. I never heard of an audit until my insurance company started doing them about, I assume, 10 years ago. And this was my third one, so I pretty much knew the drill. It consisted of someone coming in and asking questions about the house and taking pictures of what homeowners' liability insurers consider salient features. These included plumbing, heating. As you might imagine, my wood stove got very close inspection. Roof. But as in all my previous audits, this one also included the dogs. Questions about them, their breed, their age, and also how the dogs responded to the auditor. In my case, it wasn't any problem. But when I asked the auditor about it, he told me that it was the worst part of his job. He has had dogs lunge at him and growl at him. Fortunately, he does have the leeway to say, "Will you please confine that dog so I can continue my audit?" If you're one of those people who manages your aggressive dog by locking the dog up when there are other people around, hey, no prob. Not true. You can't just lock the dog up. The auditor has to see the dog because the insurer is quite interested in dogs. The reason for this is money. Currently, more than a third of all the claims paid out by the insurance industry annually are dog bite claims. And the average claim is $32,000. So they're interested in dogs. And if you've been managing your dog, or if you're one of those people who goes in denial, you can always find some reason to explain why the dog's aggression wasn't the dog's fault. You might think again. Because although for quite a few years my insurance company was the only one I had heard of who was doing this, the auditor who came the last time told me he works for three other insurers too. And if you rent, don't think that you're necessarily off the hook. I suggest you read your renter's policy and see whether it covers any damage done by your pets. If it doesn't, you might want to consider biting dog insurance, just as homeowners might want to consider biting dog insurance. As far as hiding the dog's presence from the auditor, I wouldn't recommend it. Sure, it would be easy to take Rex over to your mother's or your best friend's and sweep up all the dog hair and put away the dog bowls and all the toys and everything. But if Rex does anything, don't expect the insurance company to pay the claim. Or if they do pay the claim, they will give you a deadline before which you must euthanize the dog or lose your insurance coverage from them. Now, you might think, big deal, there are plenty of insurance companies out there. But relative to claims, and particularly relative to dog bite claims, they tend to be very cooperative. Additionally, police reports regarding canine aggressive incidences are available to them, as are emergency care reports. So if you find when you're with your dog, or when you're just thinking about your dog, or when you talk to other people about your dog, you discover that there are sentences in those conversations that begin, "Rex is a wonderful dog as long as you don't," or "as long as people don't." Or the conversation includes the kinds of people that Rex doesn't like. "He likes everybody but men. Everybody but men with beards." Or "he hates umbrellas." Any statements or thoughts that begin like this should set off a warning bell in your mind. They should tell you that you are walking around with rules in your head. You're rearranging your life around your dog to avoid confronting the problem. Canine aggression is not the kind of problem you're going to solve with a 6 weeks course in basic obedience. One of the most aggressive dogs I ever worked with had a championship in obedience. Another had dual championships in obedience and agility. There's a difference between training and behavior. And don't kid yourself that just because your dog obeys you, that means your dog is well trained. Relative to the world out there, a one-person dog is essentially an untrained dog because you cannot guarantee to be there all the time. It's a lot to think about. But as always, prevention is cheaper than treatment.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries, and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.